Good morning, City Well. Won't you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the birds of the air, the heat on our skin, for your Holy Spirit blowing afresh. Be with us now. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and the spirit afresh to perceive what you are saying to us at this time. For you are yet speaking to your church. Let us incline our ear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. So he told me I got to use this morning. Amen. So that means there's going to be some preaching going on. Let us begin in Exodus chapter 20. And many of you may know that that is one of the places that you can find the Ten Commandments. I will start and then we will focus on the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. I want you also to hear the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment recounted in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I entered Duke Divinity School, seems like such a long, long, long time ago, in August of 2014. I had already been working on a master's degree program in political science at Rutgers in New Jersey before I moved to North Carolina. I was going to pursue an MTS, a master's in theological studies, and then reapply to the law school because, as many of you may have heard part of my story before, I thought the Lord was calling me to be a lawyer. And so I was going to do the dual degree, the Juris Doctorate at the law school and the MTS at the Divinity School. As with all orientations, our orientation that year was trying to make sure that this new class, this incoming class, would succeed. They told us about the Writing Center at Duke Divinity School, about a pocket dictionary of theological terms, because I don't care how long you've been a Christian, most of us don't go around talking about soteriology and eschatological and all of these words that they would say in class, and I had no clue what was going on. I was driven to do well and realized very early that theological education was going to be quite different than anything that I had endeavored to do before. Quite intense, because it was breaking down what I thought I knew about God, what I thought I was assured of God. One thing that was drilled into my head that countered this drive, this ambition, this journey that I was on was the observance of Sabbath. All of the upperclassmen kept talking about how you had to observe your Sabbath. It was a term that I hadn't really thought much about. I knew it was the fourth commandment. And as a single mom, I could say I was doing anything but observing Sabbath. I was reintroduced to the fourth commandment. I had never heard people talk so much about Sabbath as they did at Duke Divinity School. Have you observed your Sabbath, taking this special sacred time to honor God? I soon found out why. Along my journey as a student, as a person who was endeavoring graduate studies, and I never did get back to the law school, but divinity school was quite enough. I held down a fellowship, an internship, coordinated the liturgical dance, didn't do so bad in my studies, all while being a single mom, and all while observing Sabbath. Friday became the best day of the week. How is it that we are to honor God with 1/7 of our time? How are we to look at time as sacred? How are we to rest in our creatureliness and our finitude? How are we to stop our labor and to honor this stoppage of work for ourselves and for others? How do we reflect and bask in the privilege of the title of being called children of God, trusting in God, the one who loves us and is faithful? We acknowledge that we are human beings, but far too often we act as if we are humans doing, always doing something, but God revels in us being. How can we affirm our value without having to do anything but just be in the image of God? God has an answer for that. Sabbath. It is a command. It is a boundary. It is a limit. It is a gift. It is duty and it is privilege. And I pray for us, it will be a pleasure. In our text this morning, God is speaking to God's people. God is speaking to God's people. The God who brought them out of bondage, out of Egypt. Until then, that was God's defining act, the way that they truly knew that God loved them and was in the midst. 6 days you will work. You will work, but on the seventh day, rest. These God's people who were defined by Egypt, defined by empire, defined by what they could produce, commodification, how well they produced, and it was relentless. Exodus 19 and 12, after God has freed them, God reminds them yet again, that I am the one who brought you out of Egypt, and I alone get to set limits. 6 days you shall work. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. What a gift to a people who had been in bondage. What a gift to a people who had to produce for empire. You rest. But then everyone associated with you rest also. The whole community shall rest. You, your sons, your daughter, your male, your female slave, your livestock, your alien residents in your town, you all shall rest. It's interesting. Not every Sabbath did I need to rest. Not every Sabbath did I need to take a nap. But I did it anyway. And in that mode, I realized that this was not only for me, but even my son got to recognize that Friday is a different type of day. Friday is a day where we rest, where we honor God with different prayers and different ways of being. We would dance around the house to gospel music. It was for the whole family. But Sabbath here is for the community. Even the slaves and the animals, the whole creation is called to rest. God modeled this, and God calls Sabbath blessed. Remember and reenact creation. We rest because God rested. In the very fabric of the creation story, God rests. I wanted to read this portion of scripture because I realize it's so important. We have all of these arguments about creation. We know in the beginning, God created, and God is still creating the heavens and the earth. But we sometimes forget this part in Genesis chapter 1. God saw everything that had been made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. There in the creation story, God is reminding us that even God rested, not because God had to, but as a model for us, made in God's image to rest too. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh you shall rest. Something that I've been struggling with when talking about Sabbath is the concept of Sabbath being able to liberate us. Sabbath has the ability to liberate us. When we look at the Exodus story and the Ten Commandments there in Exodus, the focus there on the fourth commandment is in creation. But when Moses recounts the story in Deuteronomy, the focus is on the God who liberates. The one who brought you out of Egypt with a strong arm. Sabbath helps us to reenact Exodus, reenact what it means to be brought out of bondage, bondage of empire, for that is what Egypt was, and we should be able to understand that we are living in an age of empire too. To be able to stop all social distinctions. There's no more slave and alien in your midst. All are one. All are called to rest in the liberating God. And Sabbath as resistance. Walter Brueggemann talks about how we get to stop our commodification, our striving, our seizing, our work, and our labor. This is not just for us. It is for all of creation. It is for God's people to model for the world what it means to stop injustice, and to allow the good of the community and the society to prevail. Sabbath was what was a distinct marker for the Israelite people. It didn't matter if they were in exile. It didn't matter if they were an empire. It was a political statement, a disengagement from the world's economic system. And it was a message to the world's economic system. The reality of Exodus is there are no more slaves. We are free, free from empire, free from production, from consumerism, and from all the gods of the present world. You are God's own. You are beloved of God. in God's gift to you, even in the midst of the United States of America in 2019, with everything that is going on, is to rest assured in this liberating God. I especially want CityWell to hear this message. For we, especially a people who understand and are continuing to be renewed by the God of justice, who have been engaged in the work of justice, understand that you too need to rest. For you need to be rejuvenated, refreshed, an opportunity to hear again from the liberating God that you are beloved, that you don't have to be a human doing, but a human being, and that you are able to trust the one who will still work, who never slumbers nor sleeps, even while he has called you to rest. This is the God that we serve. And once you've taken your nap and had your Sabbath, then you can get up refreshed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit to go and to work again. Tish Harrison Warren, and if anybody has talked to me probably in the last 6 months, they've heard me talk about this book, Liturgy of the Ordinary. In her book, she talks about our zealous activism as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, how we are on the move, hopefully, right? We are on the move for God. Our witness is powerful in the world. But sometimes we lend ourselves to the frenzy of the culture. Even in our well-doing, we can lend ourselves to the frenzy of the culture. The church can be full of meetings and of no joy, full of times to go to conferences and of no peace, a time where we are constantly doing and we are exhausted. Tish Warren says, what if Christians were known in the culture, in the world, as this peaceable, countercultural community, well-rested people who embrace our limits, know that we are human beings and need to rest. And when we are exhausted, we stop and go to our liberating God in prayer, in worship, in being with each other so that we can be recharged to go again. What if we did that and embraced it with joy? What a witness that would be to the world. For the next 3 weeks, starting today, July 7th and July 14th, I have been praying about this, and our leadership team has heard all of my pleas for Sabbath. But even more, as we have gone through our transition, I have known that this is God's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I am inviting our whole congregation into a time of Sabbath rest. From July 1st, so tomorrow, until September 1st, during these 2 months, we will worship, for we serve the Creator God who is continuing to create anew in us, and the liberating God who wants us to be liberated from this world, this commodification of empire that always tells us we have to be doing something, we have to produce. We have been liberated from that. I will ask that we would focus on the things that will bring us closer to God. And for everyone, that may be something different. A walk on the Eno River, or a walk with a loved one, playing with a beloved pet, or being with your family. Whatever it is, do that more. I will present some sermons during this time that will have themes that I pray that you will focus on, read again, listen to again. Not because I'm so great, but for the content of the sermon. I'm asking that you would read your weekly emails, the emails that are sent out, because I will put scriptures, tools, resources there for you to think about and ponder. We will rest from our usual labors. Have less meetings. I pray that that will be something that will bring you great joy if you are involved in many meetings that have to do with CityWell. More time to be together without agenda, without a specific plan. Attend to our church's emotional needs, our need for healing and rejuvenation. For over the course of the time that I have been here, we have been engaged in some deep, deep work. Everything that happened with the loss of our brother Samuel, we are still grieving, and we have not attended well to the body, for the body has been hurt. And even as that chair still sits there, we haven't talked about it. We haven't talked and been honest about what we didn't do so well. And how, if God brings us the gift of another person in sanctuary, how we would do it differently to honor them and to honor God. So we will take time to reflect. We will talk honestly about what happened at General Conference. How is it that our denomination has said this, and yet for the most part, this church disagrees? We will talk about that, and we will be honest about the transition. I've been heavily burdened by all that has been going on, and there are rumors and there are things that are being said, but we are the body of Christ, and we are supposed to operate in unity. So first, there needs to be some transparency. So let us talk about it in love with each other so that we can heal. But this is what we will do in this time. CityWell, we are in our eighth year. And if you know anything about numbers in the Bible, eight is the year of new beginnings. But the truth is that in Israel's time, in this agrarian culture, seven was the number that we rested. Seven was the number that the land rested, the slaves rested. Everyone got a chance to rest. We didn't necessarily have that time. We actually ramped it up the seventh year. We don't get to just go over that. We get a do-over now. Let us not just continue our work. God ordains Sabbath, rest, rejuvenation. Because if we continue to work the land, we can do and plant and try to bring it, make it bear fruit, but it will be fruitless. And that is my prayer for us, that we will take this rest so that when we continue to plant seed and water, that we would bear much fruit. Some 30, some 60, some hundredfold for the kingdom. Sabbath is an invitation. Please hear me. You have been invited. I can't make you do anything, but you have been invited into Sabbath to trust God, to get the stuff done that needs to be done. Trust God. Even when we can't track God, even when we can't trace what God may be doing in the midst, we can trust a faithful God who is always coordinating. Last time I preached, I talked about this God of the choreagio, the one who is a master choreographer, who is making sure all our needs are supplied. And I believe even more so while we rest. For God honors those who honor God. At this time, I invite those, our music ministry, to come up. They will be singing a song, leading us in a song, but in the spirit of Sabbath, I ask you to rest, to receive, to be in a stance of listening to the words of the song. To hear this as, again, an invitation. We don't like commands in our modern society, but we all have limits. We all have boundaries. We all know when we need to stop. Let us pray. Lord, have your way, for you have ordained rest, and we receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen.